All right, take your Bible this morning. It's preaching time. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew 24, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the next great event on God's timetable. The next great event on God's timetable is a gathering out of His bride. It's referred to by many as the rapture of the church. And so I want to talk to you about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's in two parts. There's when the Lord comes first, and we're going to primarily speak about that this morning, where the Lord steps out on a cloud and says, come up hither, and gathers home His church prior to the tribulation. Now, after that 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, notice it don't say the time of the church's trouble. After that 7-year period of Jacob's trouble, then the Lord, the second part of that, the Lord returns to the earth. You'll have the battle of Armageddon, and the beast is taken, and he's bound for 1,000 years, and the Lord sets up his throne on the throne of David and the city of Jerusalem, and he'll rule this earth in peace and righteousness. And that's called the millennial reign of Christ. But this morning I want to focus on the fact that the Lord could come before this message is over. He could come at any time. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives. I'm in Matthew 24, verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. We may be right at the edge of this time in Bible history that actually technically, doctrinally, is talking about the tribulation time, but it can also apply to this time where the Lord gets ready to come for his church, and we see the beginnings of sorrows. There's a lot of craziness going on in this world, a lot of things that this world has never seen for a long, long time, if ever, the beginnings of sorrows. In Luke 21, in verse 11, the Bible says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Apostle Paul telling the church said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now watch it. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hey, if you're a born-again Christian here today, you need to comfort yourself with the fact that the Lord can step out at any time and say, come up hither. And the Bible says, in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We should comfort ourselves with that fact that the Lord is going to come back for his church. The last prayer in the Bible, after our Lord in Revelation tells John, the Lord told John, surely I come quickly. Then John prays the last prayer, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:8 that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for those who love his appearing. If you're looking forward in great anticipation to the Lord's return for his church, the Bible says there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. At the crown that you win for your love of his appearing. And we need to comfort ourselves with these words. We should look with great anticipation and comfort at his appearing, at great meeting in the air. The Bible says, John told the disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And John or Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. My. Numbers 23:19, the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He's coming, folks. I don't care what the UN has to say. I don't care what CNN or the news media has to say about it. I don't care what Judge Judy or Lonnie Moon or your high school science teacher has to say about it. The Lord's coming back. He's coming back for his church. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That passage refers to two different groups of people. Two different groups of people. That first group, it says, O death, where is thy sting? That's those who are alive at the coming of our Lord. They never taste the sting of death. O death, where is thy sting? The other group are those loved ones who have gone on before, who have trusted Christ. The grave got them, but the grave didn't get victory over them. Those graves are open. And it says, oh grave, where is thy victory? My, what a glorious time we should be looking forward to. And that's when the Lord comes for his bride. My. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ begins with the rapture of the church. Psalms 104:2, the Bible says, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth watch at the beams of his chambers and the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. It's going to be, beam me aboard, Scotty, except he's going to be saying, come up here. For as the lightning, it says, he said in Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Psalms 15:1, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, that those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. In Job 37:1, the Bible says, in this also my heart trembleth. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After the voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. In John 12:28, he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him. My. You won't have to look it up on Facebook. You won't have to check your messages on your iPhone or your Android. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. In Revelation 4:1, the Bible says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. In Revelation 11:12, it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven, saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. My. When the Lord rose from the tomb, he first met with his intimate group of disciples before he was seen of the multitude. When the Lord comes from heaven, you know the first ones he will appear to is his church. All the whosoever wills, all those who have said, yes, I believe you are who you say you are, and I know I'm a sinner, and yes, Lord, I'm trusting you for salvation. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the crowd the Lord appears to first, that intimate group, the church, the body of Christ. When the Lord comes from heaven, he first appears to the church in a great meeting in the air. Every blood-bought, born-again believer in Christ will be caught up by the Lord himself in what is commonly referred to as the rapture of the church. And that gathering out of the bride of Christ is the next great event on God's timetable. Following that calling out of the church, God will usher in here on earth a time unlike any time in history. That's where you'll actually see the beginnings of sorrows, and you'll see judgment on Israel. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The church isn't going to be here. Another place is called the Great Tribulation Period, or Daniel's 70th week. Matthew 24 and verse 3, it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And here in our text it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. In Daniel 12 and verse 4, he said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. That's where we are. We're in the great information age, where you can know anything going on in the world at any time. You can know it immediately. Matthew 24, 3, and as they sit upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, and they didn't know. They wanted to know, when is this going to happen? 2 Timothy 3, 1, Paul wrote this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We are in perilous times, surely, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. The affections have become unnatural in these last days. No longer does a man have natural affection for another human being. A woman and a man, many have lost that natural affection, and those affections have been changed, and that's a sign of the last days. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There's a lot of folks in the world that just hate anyone who is trying to live for Christ. They hate the church. They stand against the church. I'd reposted a thing on Facebook a couple days ago where a lady's holding up a big poster that said, going to hell and proud. She said, proud of it. What's that about? What's that about? Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of. Ever learning, that's hard. Get that education. That elite academic crowd has caused us a lot of the problems that we're having today. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Romans 10:2 says, "For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Many years ago, the reformer Martin Luther penned. He said, "Whenever our schools quit teaching the Scriptures as being paramount, they become nothing more than gateways to hell." We're seeing that today. Academia. Elite academia telling the world to get away from God, get away from Christ, get away from all those things that are good. Craziness, it's a sign of the last days. Matthew 24:37, the Bible says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." The next great event on God's timetable is the calling out of his bride. Now some teach that the church will go through this tribulation period. But I'm going to give you enough scripture to disprove that theory. Some think the church will go through the tribulation, but the Bible says as Christians that we will be saved from the wrath that is poured out during that time of Jacob's trouble. Romans 5:9, the Bible says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know what's poured out in the tribulation? Seven vials of wrath. That verse just said you'll be saved from wrath through him. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." I was sitting in a corner booth at the reservation one afternoon with Dr. Sam Gipp, one of the smartest men of the Bible that I know, and we were talking about this very doctrine, a pre-tribulation rapture, where before the tribulation, the church gets caught out. And I said, "Well, Brother Gipp, I don't know where I heard it, but it makes sense to me what man would beat up on his bride just before the wedding. If we had to go through the tribulation, it'd be the Lord beating up on his bride just before the wedding." He said, "Brother Gipp, I don't know where I heard that. He said, "You heard it from me, because that's what I teach." I said, "Okay. Wow." Luke 21:29, "And he spake to them a parable. He said, Behold the fig tree." Fig tree normally refers to Israel and all the trees. "When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled." My, my, my. What's that talking about? Israel. When did Israel become a nation? 1948. Israel was recognized by the UN in 1949. That's the year I was born, and it says, "This generation, my generation, shall not pass till these things come to pass." Wow, I better be looking, better be watching the skies. My, my, my. I don't know, what is a generation? Different times. Some come up with different years. The Bible says that he would number man's days. Psalms 90:10 says the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they may be 80 years. All right, 70 or 80. "Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Well, Israel became a nation in 1949. 70 years on top of that. Between 70 and 80 years, and I'm not trying to date anything. The Bible says, "No man knoweth the day or the hour," but we're not to be ignorant of the season. So it looks like 70 or two, if by reason of strength, 80 years. You take that period of time from Israel becoming a nation in 1948 or 49, We're right in that zone, folks. We're right in that window. My, my, my. Daniel's 69th week ended with the crucifixion of Christ. That 2,000-year tolling did not start with the birth of Christ. It started with the death of Christ, 33 years after that, when the Messiah was cut off. It's spoken of as the cutting off the Messiah, and the interval between Daniel's 69th week and the marriage supper of the Lamb is said to be 2 days. One day with God is 1,000 years. Remember John 2 and verse 1 said, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now I'm just throwing out some scripture. Any man that's ever tried to set a date on this thing has been wrong and always will be wrong. God never revealed it. When the Son was on this earth, even He didn't know. All right. But this pictures the marriage of the Lamb that will occur on the third day after the Messiah was cut off. He was cut off about 33 A.D. That would bring us to around the middle of 2033. Does that make sense? Before the marriage. But then you've got a 7-year tribulation period before that. Man, we're getting in that zone, in that window. Prophetically, you say, well, your date said, no, I'm not. It could occur today. It could occur the next moment. No man know. But what we should know today is that we are one day closer to the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The time is tolling. The clock is ticking. The Bible says no man knoweth the day or the hour, but we should be able to discern the times. Now, following that 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, the Lord will split the eastern sky. He'll return to the earth with great power and glory, the Bible says. It is then He will sit on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That event following the time of Jacob's trouble is referred to as the Second Advent. But my focus has been on the calling out of the church, Christ and His bride. In Song of Solomon 2 and verse 10, the writer says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. My, 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 He's coming, folks. You can mark it down in your little book. He's coming. It could be today, it could be tonight, it could be next week. We don't know. In Isaiah 48:3, the Bible says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. 2 Peter 1:16, he wrote, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you don't want to be caught off guard. I remember Brother Bill Hamm. He was an old musician from down in the Kentucky hills that played bluegrass music, well known with that crowd. And he wrote a song. They had a song, Four for the Gospel, sang in our old church. He wrote a song one night. He was out coon hunting with his buddy and said a big deer run in front of the car. And he yelled to his buddy who was driving that truck. He said, get right or get left. And he wrote a song about it, get right or get left. You don't want to get left when the Lord comes for His bride. You don't want to miss out on this great coming for the Lord's bride. He says, whosoever will, let him come. You can get saved this morning. You can come today and say, I want to trust Christ. I want to be in that number. I want, when the roll is called up yonder, I want to be there. I want to be in that number when the Lord calls out His bride. When He says, come up hither, I don't want to be left behind. The altar is open right now, folks. If our musicians, singers would come, Don't miss out on this great event. Don't miss out on the simplicity of Christ. He says, whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. You can stand up this morning. And he who is athirst, let him come. And he that heareth, say, come. The Lord is coming, folks. He's coming back. I don't care what this world has to say about it. They've left God out of all the worldly plans, have disregarded the voice and the word of God. But he's coming, folks. As it was in the days of Noah, folks didn't have a clue. Noah was nailing that ark. A preacher of righteousness said, what's that old fool down there doing, nailing on that ark? And nobody knew a thing about it until the door was shut and the rains came and the floods came. And they all perish. Don't be left behind. Won't you come today? The Lord is coming back. He's coming back on a cloud. He'll step out on a cloud and say, come up hither. If you've never trusted Christ, won't you come this morning as we sing?
Number 308.
Number 308. All.